Triple J.
On Triple J, this is 2015.
On Triple J. Okay, let's check out this new album from Refused. That's one of the moments from it, a track I played a couple of weeks ago called Dawkins Christ. The album is now out, came out on Friday. It's called Freedom. This is their comeback album. The Swedish hardcore legends split up in 1998 after putting out an album called The Shape of Punk to Come because they thought no one cared. How little they were wrong. Or how much they were wrong, I should say. Well, at that time, they were only playing gigs to about 50 or 100 people, and then all of a sudden that record just started to grow and grow and grow after the band had disappeared. All these other bands who were forming up and sort of going in the hardcore vein really loved that record and talked it up, and it became something of a legendary hardcore record, and it really was ahead of its time. So the band, a few years ago, back in 2012, they announced that they were back. They were reforming for Coachella. They did a world tour. They came to Australia. And just a couple of months ago, they announced that they were working on new music and, in fact, had done a whole album. That album is Freedom. So, at the time, I spoke to Dennis Lixon, the singer from Refused, about this record. I spoke to him about who they worked with in the making of it, some really interesting producers on board. We'll get to that in a moment. But I also found out from him that he did have hesitations about making this new album.
I think one of the things, for me, it was two things, actually. One thing is that I have another band. You know, I have a band called Invasion. We played 110 shows last year. You know, and it's a part of my process of what it's something that I do. So I was, of course, worried about, like, you know, what's the focus going to be like? Because I have this other band that I'm trying to build. But then, of course, the other aspect was, how are people going to perceive a new Refused record after all these years? And how are people going to perceive it in correlation to the legacy of Refused? And, of course, you're worried about that because one of the things I've been thinking about for the past 2 years now is, like, when did that amazing reunion album come out? And the answer is, it never did, ever. So, of course, that's something that I thought about. But then one of the things is that, you know, people can tell us, like, oh, you know, your legacy, this or that. But in order to be born, as Hermann Hesse said, in order to be born, you have to destroy the world. And I think that's already 2012. We were definitely, like, already on the path of, like, destroying the legacy of the mythical sort of entity that Refused was, because a lot of people never got to see us play in the 90s. And I think that I attribute a part of our success to the myth that was Refused. But as soon as we start playing shows, we kind of, you deconstruct the myth a little bit, and then you have to realize that you cannot let other people dictate what you want to do with your life, you know? Like, there are a lot of people that have a lot of opinions about what you should do, what you could do, and how you're going to do it. But at the end of the day, it's the four of us writing songs, performing together, that's going to be the defining factor of what Refuse is going to be. And then when I, you know, thought about all that, I'm like, oh, you know, just let's do this. It's going to be great. And, you know, my other band is, you know, we have a year off while Refuse have a year on. Just work it out like that.
Yeah, there's always space. You can make the space happen. But also you got to reflect on, you know, the political nature of what Refuse was in the 90s. As you said, the world hasn't become any more enlightened, really, in the intervening years. No. There's plenty still to write about. So did that give you, you know, a bit of an inspiration in terms of coming up with new material as well?
Yeah, I mean, that was fairly easy. And if you followed my trajectory and what I've done, I mean, I carried, like from the last Refused record, I definitely carried, like, the political torch all the way until now. I mean, it's never like, I never stopped talking about politics. I never stopped talking about, like, these issues that in the 90s, you know, became a part of became a part of the person that I am. And so when we decided, it's the same thing, when we decided that we're going to write a new Refuse record, me and David actually met in Stockholm a couple of times. And the only thing we did is, I don't think many people write like this, but We sat in a room for days on end, talked about existential issues. We talked about politics. We talked about philosophy. We talked about, like, the radical ideas. We talked about how to approach songwriting process to make it a truly radical record, not only musically, but also lyrically. So that, I mean, that is a part of what Refused, you know, what Refused is as a band. I mean, when David writes his solo stuff, it might not be that political because it's a different thing. Or, you know, when I write other stuff, the politics might be a bit, you know, different, but Refused is Refused. And it's the most, I have to say, the lyrics are the most radical lyrics we've ever written, ever.
On Triple J's 2015, that one from the new Refused album is called War on the Palaces, and the album Freedom came out on Friday. So when I got the chance to speak to Refused's singer, Dennis Lixon, a few months ago, just after the news of this new album was coming, of course, I didn't get a chance to hear the album back then. They weren't giving it out for people to listen to. So when I spoke to Dennis, I asked him to describe what sort of a record they had made.
Yeah, well, I would say it's a very angry record. It is. I mean, you know, we're in our 40s, but we're more, I think what happens is when you're a young kid, you're supposed to be a rebel. You're supposed to be political. You're supposed to be radical. And then as you grow up, you sort of always, like, rough edges get kind of taken out a little bit. And most people that I know, they sort of, you know, get pressured into this normalcy, if you know what I mean. But someone like me and David and Chris, we've never been normal. We were so far from normal that, you know, as you grow older, you grow even more radical, because not only are your political ideas kind of very to the left, but also the way we live our lives and the social conventions that we sort of reject, it becomes harder as you grow older. So it's a very, very angry, multi-layered record as far as the lyrics goes. It's not, I mean, in the 90s, we were a bit more, you know, straight on target. Now we can sing about political issues, but also have depth and take our time to think about it in a very different way.
Dennis Lixon has been with us on Triple J talking about the fact that Refused have announced to the world that they're back with new music. Listen, I know I've got to say goodbye to you soon, but let's just quickly talk about the fact that you've worked with Nick Launay, seems to have been the producer of most. He's produced most of this record?
Yes, yes.
He's an amazing producer. This, was it a good match?
Yeah. It was a perfect match. He mixed a couple of songs on the Invasion record. And then he came to see Invasion live in L.A. And he came up to me. He's like, "You guys are great. We should work on music together." And I was like, "I have this other project that you might be interested in." And I said, "We're doing a new Refused record." And Nick was just like, you know, he kept bugging me. He's like, "I want to do the Refused record." And then, you know, I'm a huge fan of Nick Cave just listening to the way the Grinderman record sounds, and we're like, this is what we want. This raw, edgy music played by older people. And Nick was fantastic. He's got a lot of Australia connections, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you ever get into the Midnight Oil record, which he produced, the 10-1 record?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm a Midnight Oil fan, you know. I love Australian music. We could, next, when I come to Australia, I should play Australian music on your radio show or something. I love Australian music.
Fantastic. The Invitation. I'm going to hold you to that when you come to Australia.
Yes, please.
Absolutely. Yes. You can take over Triple J. We would gladly love to have you in, and you can play whatever you like Australian music wise. But the track we played, great. The first single, Electra, I don't think Nick's actually done this. A Swedish guy called Shellback has actually produced it with you.
Yes,
has he?
He did that. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes. It is pretty amazing. The first version of Electra was 7.5 minutes long. And this guy Shellback heard it, and he made his own demo that was like the version that we have today. And he sent it to us like a week before we went to LA to record with Nick. And everyone was like, wow, this Shellback version is pretty awesome. So when we were in LA, we recorded Electra like a mix between the two versions. And it didn't really come out as well as we wanted to. So when we were done in LA, we came back to Sweden and we said, okay, let's just try to re-record Electra with Shellback. And we did, and it turned out amazing. And Shellback, for those of you who don't know it, he has had 8 number one Billboard songs. Mm. He works with like Taylor Swift and Pink and Adele and stuff like that. And he's just like a massive Refused fan. So we actually recorded this Electra in Max Martin's studio.
That's why I was just amazed.
Yeah, think about that for a little bit.
I know. Yeah. I know. Now, Max Martin is one of the, you know, he is just everywhere. He is the songwriter, the producer that all the pop stars go to.
Yeah.
And
we recorded Electra in his studio.
Yeah, and Shellback is a guy who writes and produces with him, but then he's worked with Refused on this new track. It's just mind-blowing. That's fantastic.
Yeah. It is.
And he's a huge Refused fan.
Yeah, he is. It's pretty trippy. I mean, I think it goes to show our disregard for everything, or just the open minds that we have. Mm. I mean, we were just like, whatever we need to make this song is great, and whatever we need to make this record as amazing as possible. And we need it. So Shellback ended up doing 2 songs on the record. And then Nick Lawney did the other 8 songs. And it's a pretty kick-ass record, I have to say.